This is SEC Talk. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You heard it off the top. This is SEC Talk. We are getting back into everything fun, talking about the SEC. Got a lot of stuff to jump to in this episode. As you can see, it's just me by myself here right now at this moment. Cody is not here. Cody is not with us, but that's okay. You guys just continue the prayers and all that good stuff up for him. I am your host, Holden Aul. Glad to have you guys here with us. We got a lot to get to, a lot of games to get to. One game that we're actually going to review from this past week that came by, which we'll get to that in just a minute, that being Louisville and Ole Miss. Last time we talked with each other, that game was actually still ongoing. So we get to talk a little bit about that, which is pretty exciting. You guys, first and foremost, make sure you go and follow us on Twitter at SECTalk20. I'll keep it up at the top of this video. If you guys don't remember what it is, YouTube, I'm on it. Working on getting the video done right here, right now, as we're going through doing this. So you guys check out the YouTube link. Obviously, we'll leave all these links in the description of this show, whether you're on YouTube, wherever it is that you're listening on podcast, it'll be there as well. The support link will also leave in the podcast links, or the description of the podcast, at least. It'll be in the description of those, probably not on YouTube, but not a big deal. Anyways, got a little bit of news that we're going to get to. First and foremost, we're going to go through it simple. Break down the game of Louisville-Ole Miss at just a little bit. We don't have to dive too deep into it because at the end of the day, hey, Ole Miss ended up looking really good. Glad to see that as an SEC fan. We're going to go through all of the games from this past week. I know I'm going to be moving around a good bit if you're watching here on YouTube. Got this all rocking and rolling by myself, but break down all of these games. We got our picks in. I did get the picks from Cody, so that's one thing. I also got his top five. We'll review what I thought my top five was at the end of last week after all the games. And then Cody, I also got his. So we'll go through these. Got a little bit of Twitter content that we'll get to at the end of this episode as well. So you guys stick around for that. But without further ado, let's start it off. First and foremost, let's start things off with some news around the SEC. One of the first things that I read was, we talked about this last episode, was Lane Kiffin being out for that Ole Miss-Louisville game. Think he's supposed to be back this week. I haven't seen any differently. I don't see why he would not be, because everybody being at 100% vaccination, the days, you're just not out as long. You know, you're normally out 14 days. In this situation, you're only out 10. So at the time of all that coming around, he should be good to go, because I believe that, if I remember correctly, I believe this actually happened prior to game time. You know, I know it was announced on Saturday. They didn't play till Monday, so more than likely this is something that maybe happened Thursday or Friday, so he should be through that protocol as far as having to sit out. News out of South Carolina, you know, you have a grad transfer, or grad assistant, I should say, Zeb Nolan, that came in as quarterback there. Looks like Luke Doty is going to be back in the driver's seat there for South Carolina at quarterback, so keep an eye on that as they get prepared to start this week off, hopefully getting back to normal, I guess some sense of normalcy there with the quarterback that they plan on having throughout the season. Some strange news that I didn't really talk about on Monday, and I didn't pay quite as much of attention to, and I probably should have, and that's Vandy. Vandy, they actually removed the play calling duties from offensive coordinator David Rye prior to that Eastern Tennessee State loss. It's kind of a strange thing. Joey Lynch, who is the passing game coordinator, he actually called plays instead. Now, they still lost 23-3, so evidently whatever happened there was not working. I don't know what that means. What that means is going to happen from this point forward. I don't know if that's you get the offensive coordinator back in there calling plays. If they're planning on firing the guy, what? I'm not 100% what exactly it is that's going on, but something to keep an eye on there as far as things go there. Now, some big news. This is outside of the SEC, but it is news out of the Big 12. Let me pull it up here so that way I can read it to you guys. I don't have a lot of visuals to pop up on the screen. I may get to some of that this year. I'm not 100%. We'll see. It's just a lot of moving parts when you're doing two shows and pretty much back-to-back trying to get them out at the same time to add all the visuals. Hey, I'm doing good to be on here right now doing this, so regardless, glad to be here. Glad you guys are listening, watching wherever you're listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, again, we really appreciate that. But this is breaking news out of the Big 12 that I read earlier, and that is this was approved unanimously by the 8 continuing members. That is, the presidents and chancellors voted for BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF to be accepted into the conference in a statement that was released by the Big 12. So all four of those schools between BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF, obviously this being the news that follows after what happened over the summer there, which I guess technically we're still in late summer, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 and moving into the SEC. Supposed to be the 2025 season. I think pretty much at this point we all know that that's happening next year. So go ahead and write it in a book and be prepared for that coming up in the upcoming season. So that is a move that the Big 12 is doing in the process of those two teams exiting. They're going to add four teams. I was talking to Cody about it a little bit earlier, and he was kind of wondering why they would put four teams in there. I told him, hey, you got to have four teams just to cover some of the income that Texas was bringing into the Big 12. Obviously, the Big 12 not being part of that alliance, I guess, that was formed between the ACC, Big 10, and the Pac-12. I will be honest with you, and I think I said it on here, the Big 12 is going away. It's gone. You know, it'll be no more after all this. Never mind. They have proved us completely incorrect in that by adding these four teams. And to be honest with you, the four teams that they add, BYU, who was good last year, the year before that, they were pretty good. Cincinnati, still good this year. Good last year. That's another one. Houston, they've been good in the past. A little bit on the downward trend right now, but UCF, is that obviously they've been really good since their national championship win back in 2017. So, yeah, a little jab at them, but we're the SEC, so that's just the way we're going to do this thing. Couple of good grabs there. I will say that for the Big 12 as far as this goes. No, I haven't seen any kind of announcement as far as when this is, like a timeline. Are we talking about the same deal where, all right, they're marking it in the book 2025 when Texas and Oklahoma peace out? You guys, come on, hop in. Or is this a situation where they basically already know that Texas and Oklahoma are headed out the door and planning to go ahead and put them on this? I don't know. I don't have a timeline for you. That's just what I saw that was breaking news earlier today. Figured I'd add that to the podcast here and let you guys know it. So there you go. Take that and do with it what you will. Finally, last but not least, as far as the news goes, let me see if I can get this pulled up here for us real quick. That is the top 25 did break. Back after that, I guess Oklahoma or Ole Miss and Louisville played Monday, so it was Tuesday that top 25 dropped. And I'll actually go through it for you guys real quick here, just so you got it. Again, it's late in the week. Everybody, for the most part, has probably already seen this. But I'm going to go through it anyways, because you got some other SEC teams in there. Some of what we were talking about preseason is starting to come to fruition. A couple of these teams that we thought should be in the top 25 preseason, they're now finding themselves in the top 25, one of those being Ole Miss that did play Monday. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but let's run through the top 25. Alabama still at the top spot, rightfully so. Georgia right behind them, again, rightfully so. If you're watching on YouTube, you know how I feel about that, but we'll get to it. Number three, Ohio State. I mean, take it with a grain of salt because didn't look all that great against Minnesota, but at the same time, I feel like Minnesota's not a bad team, so maybe it's okay to keep them at that three spot. Oklahoma at four, they don't belong there. Until that defense can prove something, I don't think they belong there at all. To struggle with a Tulane team that more than likely could have beaten them, I don't see why they only fell two spots if it's me. I still like Clemson above them. I know I talked about that last week, but that's just because Clemson and Georgia played such a great game. I think right now if Clemson and Oklahoma played, Clemson would beat them, because I think Clemson's defense is strong enough to slow Oklahoma, and I also believe that their offense is going to come alive. We'll get to that. Maybe not, because we're not an ACC, but I do think Clemson's offense is going to come alive, and I hope they do. I hope they score 140 points against every team they play for the rest of the season. Nonetheless, getting back to it, number five, Texas A&M. Number six, Clemson does come in that number six spot. Looking on down at number seven, you got Cincinnati. At eight, Notre Dame. Number nine, Iowa State. Number 10, Iowa, good matchup at the end of this week. Penn State, 11. Oregon at 12. Florida at 13, not moving anywhere. USC at 14. Texas jumps up to 15 after a win over Cody's Louisiana Region Cajuns. UCLA jumps up in that top 25 spot there at 16 after taking down LSU, who Cody and I, again, back to what I was just saying, preseason, we both thought that LSU was, both of us thought that LSU was overrated. And sure enough, you come into this season. I called it last week that I thought UCLA would upset and beat LSU. Sure enough, they do. You know, they look good the week before that play in Miami. Hawaii. And here they go. They get the nod. They're in the 16 spot, jumping up. Coastal Carolina moves up to 17. Wisconsin falls down to 18. Virginia Tech there at 19, coming into the top 25. Another team I thought would get in this spot and deserve to be here. Number 20, Ole Miss, another SEC team coming up. Utah up to 21. Miami falls down to 22nd after the loss to Alabama last week. Surprised they stayed in the top 25, but maybe they can turn things around. We'll see. Arizona State there at 23. North Carolina falls all the way to 24 after their loss to Virginia Tech, who, again, is now in that 19 spot, so they're giving them the credit for that. And the last SEC team does jump into the top 25 here, that being Auburn at 25 after not being ranked last week. A couple of teams that are actually receiving votes. LSU obviously fell out of that top 25. They're still receiving about 57 votes to get in. As far as the SEC goes, Kentucky, they've got a few votes to get in. App State's got one. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. If Mississippi State can kind of start to pick up things offensively, I think that they could also find themselves in the top 25 by at least the end of the season, I would hope. That's your top 25. Let's get into some of the Louisville and Ole Miss review from this past week. Because, like I said, last time we were talking, we were in the middle of that game, and it was right before the end of it. For the most part, we talked somewhat about it, just because, again, we were right in the middle of it live as everything was going on. So I was at least able to talk a little bit with you guys about that. But nonetheless, let's see if I can go back to that week and get it pulled up, because I had everything pulled up, and then it went away. How about the Sunday game, though, the Notre Dame and Florida State game? Might not care much for that. I didn't talk about it really, I don't think, too much on that Monday episode. But that was a good game. I think FSU may actually be pretty decent this year. We'll see, though. We'll see if Notre Dame can compete with anybody else. All right, here we go. Ole Miss, Louisville. Ole Miss does win 43-24, wasn't it? Let's see if it pulls up. Sorry, I know it's kind of delayed. If you're watching on video, it's not quite as boring. You at least get to look at some stuff. Podcast is not yet. 43-24. Big news out of this one had already happened when we were recording. I remember telling everybody about that. Was there were four targeting calls in that. Lane Kiffin was beside himself when interviewed after that game. With it, just some terrible calls, but four targeting calls. Two on Louisville, two on Ole Miss. It's kind of tough there. In the end, Matt Corral, 22 for 32, 381 yards, one touchdown. Working on that Heisman campaign there, putting up that many yards to start it. Pretty good game overall. For the most part, I mean, you go into the half 26 to nothing. Ole Miss just kind of ran away with it. Wasn't really until the fourth quarter before Louisville started to try to make a game out of it, you know, 36-10, about halfway through it, and then a couple of touchdowns coming from Malik Cunningham there at Louisville. Cut the lead almost in half there, 24-43 in the end, but Ole Miss got the job done offensively. And I will say this, Ole Miss's defense actually didn't look too bad in this one either, being able to hold Louisville down. Again, Louisville's not a world beater. They're not a team that's going to come in there like an Ole Miss, like an Alabama, that's going to put a heap load of points on you. So, you know, take that however you want to take it, really. I'm still interested to see. We got games that are going to come up in the weeks to come that we will figure out, hey, is Ole Miss the real deal as far as defense goes? Because defense in situations here now in the SEC and multiple other situations has turned into something that, for the most part, you know, just is no longer present in the SEC. Georgia, they've proven for the past few years they've got a defense, but they've got to figure out offense. Hopefully this week they can pick that up with a game against UAB. And we'll start off with a big one. No, this one's not a big one. Getting into some of the games here. Let's talk about Alabama State at Auburn. I thought I was going to read about Alabama-Auburn there, and I was like, wait, something ain't right here. We jumped to the end of the season, and I wasn't ready for that. Alabama State taking on Auburn. There's not even a line in this game when I was looking at it, because it should be very similar to the Akron game last week for Auburn. One good thing for Auburn is coming into this game, I mean, you have that gimme game, cupcake game to start the season against Akron. You know, if you had anybody injured coming out of fall camp, getting into the start of the season, guess what? You kind of got to work on those guys there. You got another week where you get to do it. It's not until, let's see, looking at the schedule here, Auburn week. Yeah, next week. Next week they'll get the first test, traveling to Penn State. That's going to be a big one. Big one. There we go. I was going to say I have my sheet over here somewhere. You know, I don't have Auburn winning that game next week, but they're starting to improve. You know, again, they got cupcake games starting this season off. So, I mean, Tank looked good, rushing for over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns in the first game. Bo only had to throw the ball 22 times, almost threw for 300 yards in that at 275 with 3 touchdowns. Again, these are just gimme stats. Jeremiah Hickson, they've got a good actually the lead receiver there for Alabama State, excuse me. But both teams come in 1-0. This is another one. You really can't put stats up against each other too much because Auburn and Alabama State, they're just not on the same level. And it's similar to Georgia UAB that's going to happen this week. We'll jump down to it in a minute, but you really can't compare stats in some of these situations. I think Bo Nix is going to have a night similar to what he had against Akron. Same with Tank Bigsby. They should be able to run the rock really, really well against Alabama State coming into this one. We'll see how it goes. Let's jump on down to that South Carolina-East Carolina game. South Carolina only coming in as a 2-point favorite. 2-point favorite in this, traveling to East Carolina. And I think it may have been last week. No, it was earlier this week. I think East Carolina actually opened up as a favorite in this game. The line has since turned, and South Carolina has taken a 2-point lead in that. Maybe that's because you get Luke Doty back. Maybe. That may be the changing and deciding factor in that. I'm not real sure. Maybe that's enough to get you a line swing of 3, because I think at one point it was East Carolina 1. We'll see. You know, again, we get to the end of this show, just like we do every show. We'll do our picks and go through who we think, what exactly we think on it. But South Carolina, 2-point favorite. I'm excited to see what Luke Doty's going to look like in this. You know, you got Zeb back there in the backup, Zeb Nolan, if you need him, I guess. But I want to see what he's going to do. You know, again, I talked about it a little bit last week. What is Shane Beamer going to do there at South Carolina to revive this program? Because right now it's dead. This program started to fall and has not stepped up, has not even got up off the floor since getting punched the last time. So South Carolina, again, on a downward trend. I don't have much for them this year. I'm not expecting a whole lot out of them this year. I think in the end I've got them 3-9 throughout the season, 1-7 in the SEC. They get one win, and that's over Vandy. That's just, at this point, I don't know who – I don't know if Vandy's going to win a game this season. So take that with a grain of salt as you will. We're going to talk a little bit about them at the end of this episode. But let's jump on down. Pitt and Tennessee. This is one that I'm actually calling on here for the upset. I just don't feel all that good against about Tennessee here. I mean, you got Tyrion Evans there, running back. He looks pretty good. Just like it's been in the past, let's figure out this quarterback situation. Maybe they've got it figured out there in Tennessee. Maybe not. But at this point, I'm pulling more on that Tennessee pick than or that Pitt pick than I am Tennessee, because this is one of those games where, just like in the past, Pitt has been a team to come in and upset people. Take a Clemson, for example. It's happened. Pitt's come in there and stunned teams that are not supposed to get stunned in games. And I think this is the same kind of situation. Tennessee's not all that great this year. Again, I'm down on Tennessee as well, 5-7 throughout the season, 2-6 in the SEC. I just don't feel like they got it all figured out. They got a long way to go before they get to a situation where they have it all figured out. Let's see, I was trying to get some of the stats pulled up in this one, because this one is one that I think actually will matter. Again, that line is at 3. Over-under on that one's 56.5. That one, again, in Knoxville. How about Tennessee, though, getting to start the season two home games to get things going? It's 50-50, really, on this. Leaning more the Pitt side. Again, obviously, Pitt being a 3-point favorite coming into this one. Yards per game, points per game, leans more to Pitt in this one. Again, it's hard. The beginning of the season is hard to compare stats just because you've got such a limited amount of information in front of you. Total yards, Pitt put almost 600 on the board. Tennessee put up 475. Yards allowed, Pitt gave up less. And just about every category that I'm looking at, outside of passing yards allowed, which that's still better, the only thing that Tennessee leads in a category on is yards rushing. They rush the ball for about 100 yards better than Pitt. Maybe that's what they lean on in this. Maybe they lean on Tyrion Edwards, like I was talking about earlier. Maybe they lean on him to be the rock, so to speak, carrying the rock in this game. Joe Milton, 11 for 23, 139 yards, touchdown. Again, not all that impressive. He's got a long way to go if he's going to really kind of come in and impress you as far as quarterback position goes there for Tennessee. Jumping down to that number 13, Florida taking on South Florida. How about Florida taking on another Florida team in South Florida starting this one? Huge favorite, 28.5. Over under on that was 58.5 coming into it. My question is, who are we going with at quarterback there, Dan Mullen? You got Emory Jones? I don't know. Putting in Anthony Richardson? I don't know. One thing I will say, though, Emory Jones was a little bit better through the air. Not great. Threw two picks in the game. Did throw a touchdown, a little over 100 yards. Anthony Richardson didn't really throw the ball much. When he did, it wasn't all that great either. But he at least could run the ball. Again, 160 yards on the ground for a touchdown last game they played against Florida the week before. I think at this point, it's time to kind of start figuring out your pass game. Let's figure out who your quarterback is going to be down there in Gainesville, because eventually everybody's going to start getting tired of, okay, let's back and forth. Let's figure it out here, Dan. Let's stop jumping back and forth, especially you get a guy who's in there, and if he starts to light the world on fire and you decide, oh, well, he can throw the ball really well, but I need a guy who can run it in this situation. And you're just constantly moving in and out, and if it doesn't work for you, you got to eventually establish a quarterback. Put him in. Let him build the chemistry with the team around him. And if you're going to win a championship, you got to rely and put faith in that guy. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe we see Anthony Richardson start this game, see what his arm looks like, see if it improves from last week. Obviously, we know he's got the ground game covered. He can get out of the pocket and get loose and run for plenty of yardage, almost running for a little over 150 yards last week. So, you know he has that capability. Let's see what his arm can do. Emory Jones, I think he is also a guy who can run. He just wasn't nearly as successful as Anthony Richardson was last week. So, let's keep an eye on that for Florida. What's that quarterback situation look like? I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens with it, but we'll get to it. UAB and Georgia, we'll get to that one. That one at 1 o'clock on ABC. Sorry, I should have been telling you what these are. Alabama State, Auburn on the SEC Network at 12 o'clock. ESPN2 is South Carolina, East Carolina at 12 o'clock. Also 12 o'clock on ESPN is Pitt at Tennessee. ABC is that one, that Florida at South Florida. 1 o'clock on ABC. At 3:30, ESPN2, UAB and Georgia. Georgia, 23.5 point favorite. That line has dropped pretty significantly here lately. I actually saw it all the way up at 26, I think, just as simple as last night. Some of that is probably because of the conversation swarming around Georgia with the possibility that JT Daniels has an oblique strain. And if he's got a strain, you know, then he's out for a few days. Probably doesn't play in this game. If he's got a tear, he's out for a few months. Possibly could end the season right there. Would hate to hear that if it was the case for JT Daniels, because didn't really get to see any kind of explosiveness from that Georgia offense last week in a defensive battle in Charlotte against Clemson last week. So, was looking forward to getting to see some of that from JT. Looks like we may or may not get that from JT this week. We'll see. We'll see what shakes out once the game starts. More than likely, you're going to see backup in Carson Beck coming into this one. A guy who he didn't play last year. I mean, he was there, but he didn't start in any kind of games or anything like that last year. But nonetheless, he is still an experienced quarterback. He has been in the program for a year, so he's been behind JT Daniels, learning from him, also learning just how the program works, the ins and outs, you know, buying into the scheme, listening to Todd Monken. Between spring game, he looked really good in the spring, looked good throughout fall camp. So as far as a backup goes, I think he's everything you could want in a backup in case JT Daniels doesn't come up. And not knocking on UAB, but in this situation, Georgia should be able to handle UAB. UAB is coming in a pretty strong defense, and could, you know, potentially slow Georgia up in that aspect. But I don't think they're going to be able to come in and do like Clemson does, where they're dropping 7 and 8 and relying on that front line, you know, your defensive line, to be able to stop the run game, which Clemson did fairly well. I think Georgia was held to, under 200 yards rushing in that game. So don't think UAB is going to be able to do that. I look more for UAB to probably stack the box, try to take the run game away, try to prove, all right, well, whether it's JT with a possible oblique strain in the game or Carson Beck, let's see what we can make him do, see if he can make mistakes. In the end, I don't think that's going to matter. I don't think you're going to be able to put enough pressure on it. I'm not sure that Georgia's offense opens up just yet with the possibility of Carson Beck being in there. Again, that's not me saying that Carson Beck isn't good and that he couldn't come into this game and kind of light the world on fire, because there is always that possibility. You know, if let's just say, for example, if JT was to start this game and you were to have maybe him have a little bit of discomfort in that first game and you get Carson Beck in there, flashback to 2017 season, Jacob Eason is starting the game against App State, gets hurt in the first drive of the game, pops that knee, and then boom, guess what? You get Jake Fromm in there, and he didn't come out for the rest of the season. So, and they went on to win an SEC championship, win a college football playoff game against Oklahoma, a huge one, and then fall in the national championship to Alabama. You know, you kind of have flashbacks of that. Could that be a situation here? I don't know. We'll see. That'll be something to watch for Georgia there. You know their defense is going to be stout. Probably won't let UAB score in this game. So I'm not at all worried about that side of the ball. They've got a powerhouse running back room. I mean, you got Zamir White. You got James Cook, two of the veterans on the team. You got McKenzie, I'm blanking on his name. Anyway, you got Kendall Milton back there. I didn't see Dejon Edwards last week. Was kind of curious about that. But you've got plenty of guys out there. So Georgia should still be able to run the ball. And if you take it away, that'll be the question again this week, is offensively for Georgia. Because I think they're still pretty beat up on the offensive side of the ball. Their offensive line proved that they could protect the quarterback, so that's a good thing. But the wideouts, you know, you leaned on Brock Bowers. Maybe he has a huge game at the tight end position this game. We'll see. So, Georgia, again, 23.5-point favorites, 330 on ESPN2 there. Jumping down, still at 330 on Fox. You get number 5, Texas A&M taking on Colorado. Haynes King, man, didn't he look good coming into last week, going throwing for right at 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 21-for-33. Devon Achane, 12 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns again. In a game where at halftime they didn't look quite as well, they looked a lot better into this. And in this one coming in, now you do have a Colorado team who's also 1-0. Texas A&M is only, even being ranked 5th, is only a 17-point favorite coming into this one. So this is more, a much closer line than I think some people anticipated. But again, Colorado is a team who, they've got a quarterback too. He's kind of in that, you know, learning curve. But defensively for Colorado, could be a situation, and you're traveling to Colorado. You're not at the 12th man there. So could be a little bit of a test. Let me rephrase that. I don't think this is necessarily a test as much as it could be a trap game. As I say that, I don't think Colorado is going to beat Texas A&M, but there are situations you come into here, just like a Tulane Oklahoma in week one. Tulane shouldn't have been in that game with Oklahoma, but they were till the end, till the very end. So something to look at. Over-under on that one is 50. Right down the middle, even. I want to see Haynes King continue to improve and see if he has a big game in this, because I think if you get that Texas A&M quarterback situation figured out there, you got a big one. And that's been my question throughout the preseason, is let's see what happens at quarterback there, because you got a good running back still. Your defense is usually pretty good. So let's see what they can do. Can Texas A&M prove that they belong in the top 5? Can they prove that they're here to battle with Alabama at the top of the SEC West? And at this point, everything I was talking about before, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Alabama being at the top of the SEC West looks pretty good right now. Auburn's trying to fight their way up there as well. We'll see. We'll see. I think that week 3 is going to be a little bit of an eye-opener for Auburn. They get this easy – I don't know. It may be a boost that Auburn needs to get these couple of easy games to get those guys' confidence and what have you coming into the season. Maybe that's just enough to make Auburn pretty decent this year. But at the end of the year, I think you're still going to have Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama fighting for that top position in the SEC West. So take that how you will. Moving on down to 4 o'clock, SEC Network, another game that doesn't have a line on it, doesn't need to. The Mercer Bears out of local Macon, Georgia, taking on number 1, Alabama and the Crimson Tide. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I mean, again, there's not a line on this, because Alabama should go in and probably beat them 77-0. It's very well possible that that's the score. The only reason it may not be is because they decide, all right, let's call the dogs off. Bryce Young is going to prove yet again this week why he deserves to be at the top of the Heisman candidacy list and probably throw for 400 yards and 4 more touchdowns and just start to pad those stats and be really good in here. Again, I just don't have a lot to break down in this one, because there's there shouldn't be anything. Alabama should be able to absolutely rock and roll in this game. Again, 4 o'clock, SEC Network. Turn around to the big game of the weekend as outside, or inside at least, of the SEC. Number 15, Texas, traveling down to Arkansas at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Texas, a 7-point favorite coming in this one. 56.5 is the line. You get Hudson Card there at quarterback for Texas coming in after a big game last week against Louisiana Raging Cajuns. 224 yards, 2 touchdowns. KJ Jefferson for Arkansas made a mistake last week. Also did throw for a touchdown. He's got to have a step up in this game. If Arkansas is going to win this game, KJ is going to have to be one of the guys who comes in and lights the world on fire. I know I use that analogy a lot, but he's going to have to be a guy who takes control of a game, to be quite honest. If Arkansas's defense can pick up a little bit where they were last week, but also where they were last year in a game, take Georgia, for instance, starting the season. Arkansas was winning that game at halftime, had a chance and an opportunity to win the game had they stayed in it, but you can't just play a half a ball. So if they can pick up where they left off as far as that side of things goes defensively, And Jefferson there for Arkansas can pick things up, I think they win this game. We'll get to the picks here in just a little bit. But also see if they lean on that run game. Texas does have a good defense. Again, you've got a good quarterback there in Hudson Carr for Texas. So that back end of Arkansas, that's a question. Let's see. Are they going to be able to keep up with more than likely what's going to turn out to be more of an air attack than a ground game for Texas here in this one? You are coming into a ruckus environment there at Arkansas, Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville. So that 7-point, I mean, that's pretty close. That's a pretty close line to have right there. Let's see. Just trying to see if I had anything pop up there. Didn't, but we'll get to the picks here in just a minute. I'll stop saying that. I know you're tired of hearing it, but this is the game of the weekend in the SEC for me. I'm looking forward to seeing what Arkansas can put up against Texas. I know Texas is coming to the SEC next year, but I'm still looking forward to seeing what Arkansas can do in this. Because anybody in the SEC right now, I want them to take Oklahoma and Texas down. You know, you get Arkansas to get a big win right here against Texas, and it's like, hello, welcome to the SEC. This is a team who 2 years ago was not 100% similar to Vandy, but they're sitting at the bottom of the SEC West for multiple years in a row, not even winning games in the SEC for a few years there. That was rough. It got rough over there in Fayetteville for Arkansas. But hello to waking up and saying welcome to the SEC Texas if Arkansas can come into this one and win it. And moving on down, same time on ESPN2, you got NC State at Mississippi State. They've got this line really close as well. NC State is a 1-point favorite coming into this one. Over-under on this one is 55.5. I'm surprised. I know NC State's good, and I know we talked about this a little bit last week, was NC State's not a bad team. Watch out, because this is a team that can come in and upset Mississippi State, but I just don't see it happening. I think Mississippi State with Will Rogers, even though he made a mistake last week, I mean, throws for 370 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. At halftime, that game didn't look good. Going into the third quarter, that game didn't look good. It took a major comeback in the fourth quarter for Mississippi State to finally get on their high horse and say, hey, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why aren't we just sitting here letting these guys play with us? Never should have happened in the first place, and I think they wake up from that. I think Will Rogers hopefully picks up where he left off in the fourth quarter, throwing for 3 touchdowns in that, or scoring 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And Mississippi State's offense decides to pick up right there from the fourth quarter of that game to the first quarter of this game against NC State. They do that, they're going to be fine. That defense has also got to stand up. I put a lot of praise and high praise into Will Rogers on the offensive quarterback for Mississippi State preseason. My hope is that Mississippi State's defense can show up and actually play in this ball game and be a contender to be able to stop NC State from scoring. As long as they can do that, they're going to be okay. So that's something to look forward to as far as that goes for NC State. Can Will Rogers continue being positive as far as offensive goes and pick up where he left off in the fourth quarter? Sorry, I'm kind of all jumbled after all that happened there with the camera, so Let's just move on. 30 minutes later, ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, same thing that Auburn was playing on last week. You got to pay to watch it. It's kind of aggravating, I know, for them. But that's Austin Peay Ole Miss, another one that doesn't have a line because Ole Miss ranked 20th now, Matt Corral. He's about to put up, probably like he did to start the season last year, put up 500 yards in this game. and beat the stew out of Austin Peay. Not really much to talk about. Not really much to talk about there. Ole Miss a roll in this one. Missouri-Kentucky, this is a big one. This is one that I think is, in my opinion, may not matter to many people, but this is one to me that I think is actually going to determine the difference in the SEC East. Not necessarily the SEC East as much as I think it's going to determine the SEC, the second ranking in the SEC East or the SEC, top of the SEC. Some people think that it's still going to be Florida. Maybe. I may be completely wrong on that. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on it. Don't hold me to it. I guess you can if you want to. But I think this is one that comes down to the second rank of the SEC East. And I know I've already said it three times now, but Kentucky, 5-point favorites coming into this one. Over-under on this one is 56. Sorry, I have to go to my phone to kind of keep some of the stat lines coming up and going on this. I got to fix my audio here. I don't know why it keeps doing that. But anyways, Will Levis, I look for him to come in. You know that now that Kentucky's kind of figured that situation out. Throws for almost 400 yards, four touchdowns. Did throw an interception last week. Connor Bazelak, you know, he also looked good as well. Both of them throwing for a heap load of yards, a couple of touchdowns on the night. And then Tyler Batty, I mean, he ran all over the place for Missouri. It's going to be a great game, in my opinion. I'm not 100% if it's going to turn out the way that I think it is, but I do think that Kentucky stands a really good chance here. They are at home. They are favored in this game. So if it's up to me, I think Kentucky's going to win this one. I probably should stop saying that if we're going to do a picks part of this at the end of the show, but that's just what I have in it. It's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. Quarterback matchup, running back matchup. I mean, everything kind of matches up really well. Let's jump down to 8 o'clock. Same kind of networking there as the Austin Peay Ole Miss game on SEC Network Plus and ESPN Plus. That McNeese State, I think, coming down to LSU. Only cool thing about this one is it's Ed Ogeron's son. Old Coach O, cool Tigers, with Cody Ogeron as his son coming in from McNeese. He's going to be the quarterback. He lit the world on fire in their first game. Loss. It's hard to believe you throw for almost 400 yards, two touchdowns, and you lose your season opener. But they did. LSU's going to roll on this one. They're going to turn around and pick up where they – not where they left off, but should be able to just take off in this game after falling to UCLA last week. And then we jump down to poor old Vandy. 10 o'clock, that one there on CBS Network. Vandy traveling to Colorado State over in Fort Collins. And guess what? Colorado State in this one is a 7-point favorite. Over-under on this one is 51. They think that both teams are going to score a lot. I don't know. But Colorado State comes in as a 7-point favorite. Vanderbilt has got to get things figured out up there. Got to get things figured out up there. Because it's just, it's sad, really. I got a question I'm going to answer in just a little while, and I'll maybe give a little bit more opinion on this. Ken Seals has got to come alive for Vanderbilt. To me, he is just about the only saving grace that Vanderbilt can have to at least save whatever is left of their season after losing to an FCS opponent to open the season. It's difficult. That's difficult to start your season like that and really anticipate or plan to have any more success as the season goes. But that's what they're up against. Vandy starting 0-1 to start the season. Right now, it's planned for them to go 0-2. A lot of people don't think Vandy's going to win a game for the rest of the season. Maybe so. That at this point is very well possible, and very well possible that comes true. So, yeah, we'll see on it. Tell you what, now that we're kind of getting into some of this, we will take a quick break. Once we come back, we will go through our predictions, our picks central on the night, check out some games around the country, look at some top fives, and end on some Twitter questions. And, yeah, that'll pretty much wrap us up. We'll be right back. Coming into the pick central, I've got it. There it goes. All right, got my button going here. Pick central, Cody, 10-3 last week. He made it simple. Made it simple again this week. That's all right. No big deal. I went 12-3 because I did a few different picks, and I'm gonna do the same thing this week. Cody did the same thing basically this week as he did last week. Kind of funny enough, after we had talked about it, after he'd already put his picks in and everything like that. He said, man, I had actually had on my sheet that UCLA was going to beat LSU. So maybe I should give him that win. Should I? You guys reach out. Tell me what you guys think if I should give it to him. That makes him 11-2 instead of 10-3. Give or take, whatever you want to on that. But he's keeping it simple again this week. all SEC wins again. We're going to differ on a couple of those, so some of the rankings should start to kind of change up and mix up a little bit in this one. But he's picking all SEC, and then you do have Kentucky and Missouri playing. He's got Kentucky over Missouri in that one. So, I mean, that's simple. If I look through all the games here, that means Auburn over Alabama State. Sounds right. South Carolina over East Carolina. More than likely, but could be tight. Pitt over Tennessee. I don't know. Florida should take care of South Carolina, or South Florida. Georgia should take care of UAB. Texas A&M should take care of Colorado. Should. Alabama will take care of Mercer. Texas-Arkansas, that's a good one. He's picking Arkansas, though. Mississippi State over NC State. Again, that one might be tight. Ole Miss will take care of Austin Peay. The Missouri-Kentucky, that's going to be a good one. LSU will take care of McNeese. Vandy-Colorado, I don't know. I don't know. So that's where we burn down to my picks. I got Auburn over Alabama State. Makes sense. I got South Carolina edging by East Carolina. I'm just going to take the money line there with South Carolina. And then we get down to Pitt, Tennessee. I'm taking Pitt in this one. Okay, I'm not taking Pitt in the win. I'm going to take, instead of taking Pitt money line on this, I'm actually going to just take the minus three there with Pitt. It means all that's got to happen is Pitt's just got to win the game by three, right? So I guess technically I do take the win with Pitt to win the game by three there. Yeah. Yeah, so give me Pitt, money line. Well, I can't money line and the spread there, so just give me Pitt, the minus three in this one. So that just means I want Pitt to win the game by three, and that's what I believe they're going to do. I think they're going to cover that. Sorry, I made that a little bit confusing there. So give me Pitt with the upset, if you want to call it an upset, even though in this situation they're not technically upsetting Tennessee because Tennessee's not good. Florida, give me Florida over South Carolina or South Florida. That's not hard. Georgia over UAB pretty easily. Texas A&M over Colorado pretty easily. Alabama over Mercer easily. Arkansas, 7-point dog in this one. Give me Arkansas with the 7, plus 7 for Arkansas and the win. So give me two votes on that one, money line and plus 7. I guess that you can't. I don't know how that works. I don't know if you can go against the spread and pick money line in the same game. So I'm going to keep it simple because I'm not putting anything on this. It's just Arkansas plus 7 and the overall win. Then you move down to Mississippi State. I also am going to take Mississippi State plus 1 and the win. So that's two picks there as well. Ole Miss will take care of Austin Peay. Give me Ole Miss. I got Kentucky with the minus 5 in this one over Missouri. LSU, I got them over McNeese. And then I have Arkansas or Colorado State. I'll take those 7 points and the win for Colorado State as well, moving through that. All right, so that gets through our picks. Looking at some of the other games around the country, I'm pretty much going to try to keep it simple with some of the big ones. Like 12 o'clock on Fox, you got Oregon taking on Ohio State. That's a big game. Should be a really good one. Ohio State comes in as more than a 2-touchdown favorite. Kind of surprising, but it is in Ohio, so I guess that makes sense there at the house. Lunchtime games, a lot of times teams come in pretty sleepy for Oregon. You know, that's what, a 10 o'clock in the morning game? It's from West Coast to, I guess it's not Eastern, I guess it's Central time zone, so 1 or 2 hours difference. So that's like a 10 o'clock in the morning game for Oregon. So maybe that affects Oregon enough where Ohio State does kind of take care of business here. Let's keep an eye on that one, though. After watching Ohio State and Minnesota last week, I don't know. I don't know if that's really the way this one's going to turn out. We'll see. Jumping down to, I want to go through some that are good. Ah, there we go. 4:30 on ABC, which is actually where game day is. Iowa and Iowa State, number 10 versus number 9. Iowa State is a 4.5-point favorite coming into this one. Over-under on this one's 46.5. Let's see what Brock Purdy does in this one. That could be the deciding factor in this game, whether Iowa State or Iowa wins this one. Iowa looked really good last week. Iowa State did not. There's a reason that Iowa State fell a couple spots in that top 25, and Iowa jumped up after a big win. So keep an eye on that one. That one's going to be a good one. That one in Ames, Iowa, and that is also where game day is. Clemson, South Carolina State, that's not a game, but I, again, just hope Clemson scores 140 points in that game. App State, Miami, watch out, because that's a good one. That's a good one. I think Cody may have been one, or somebody, it may have been somebody else that I was reading on Twitter earlier, has actually got App State winning over Miami. I don't hate that. Don't hate it at all. Miami, a 9-point favorite. I could see App State actually coming in here and upsetting them, and it would be an upset considering Miami's still ranked in that 22 spot. Utah, BYU. Utah's a 7-point favorite in that one. That one's going to be in Provo. I don't know. That could be a pretty good one. 10:15 on ESPN. Stanford, USC. If that's not a Pac-12, like the primetime Pac-12 game, and you're watching it at 10:30 on Fox there. USC ranked 14th at the house in the Coliseum. They are 17-point favorites coming into this one. Should take care of Stanford, but that kind of throws me back. A Stanford-USC game just kind of throws me back to the old days for whatever reason. That's pretty much the biggest games, I guess, there are really around the country, like in the top 25 aspect. All right, top five. I went through this last week who I thought my top five was. I said Bama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, Texas A&M 5, Oklahoma right there at 6. I know that's obviously more than 5. But, I mean, it lines up, you know, top 25 the way that it lined up in the AP poll. Alabama, Georgia, got that. Ohio State, got that. I put Clemson down 1 just because they still look good, but they had Oklahoma 4, Texas A&M 5, and then Clemson 6. So pretty much Clemson and Ohio State, or Oklahoma on mine, was the only thing you had to change. Did finally get Cody's top 5. I dropped that now. He's got Bama, Georgia. Simple. It's the way it should be. He's got Oklahoma 3, Ohio State 4, Clemson 5, Texas A&M 6. So a little bit of change up from 3, 4, 5, and 6 for him. But that is at least his top 25, or top 5, with a caveat to number 6 in there as well. All right, going to jump over to Twitter real quick. I did ask for you guys to give me some input. You know, give me what you guys are thinking on the day. If you guys think you had any questions for anybody around the SEC. Did get one hit back on this, not a lot, so it's going to be fairly quick on Twitter. Again, you follow us on Twitter at SEC Talk 20. But this is Mary Kay. I'm gonna just spell it out. At LUGIA girl 221. Lugia? I may be saying that terribly wrong, and I apologize if I am. But anyways, Mary Kay on Twitter says, does Vandy have a chance at a winning season, or would hell have to freeze over first? You may be onto something there. At this point, I don't see it. I mean, I hate to be the Debbie Downer there for Vandy and for Vandy fans. And this will jump back and kind of be a callback to some that I was talking about at the start of the show was, I don't know how in the world we pick up an Oklahoma and a Texas from the Big 12, but Vanderbilt still managed to stay in the SEC. Vanderbilt is probably, this season is going to be a pretty good answer to that, is probably one of the worst teams in the country this year. And that's bad. That's really bad. There are going to be teams that will come up and play Vandy and think, okay, hey, we're playing an SEC team. This means something, and they beat them, and they think, oh, yeah, we've got the upper hand on the SEC. No, you don't. Because, and I hate it, because I want Vanderbilt to be good. I mean, the sad part is just 5-6 years ago, Vanderbilt beat Georgia. Vanderbilt's a team that at that time had enough talent where they could come in and beat a team that they probably shouldn't. And here we fast forward just a few years later, and Vanderbilt is not good. Ken Seals is not a bad quarterback. You know, you put him in other schemes, maybe he's better. Maybe he has more success, but he's just – Vanderbilt's not good. That is a program that has a long way to go and a lot of rebuild to happen to get back to any kind of prominence. So, do they have a chance of winning season? I think hell's going to have to freeze over before that happens. Scary thing is, we may not be far from that. So, let's watch what we wish for. In that one funny thing that I saw on Twitter the other day was Trevor Lawrence there for Clemson after Georgia got the win. Terry Godwin, old Georgia wide receiver, had I guess they had a bet out, and Trevor Lawrence had to dress up in some Georgia attire. So that was pretty cool for any of you guys that are actually Georgia fans that are listening to this. So that's pretty much all I got for you guys. Again, I will check back in on you guys on Monday. I'll probably tweet some stuff out and try to get all the information out to you guys between now and after the games Saturday, because again, I'll be recording on Sunday night to get everything available to you guys on Monday. Going to try to continue this, the video platform for you guys, so keep an eye out for that. Again, you guys follow us on Twitter at SEC Talk 20. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, follow, give us a 5-star rating on the Apple Podcast, wherever you guys are listening. Support will be in the link below in the description of the podcast. You guys tune in on Monday. Really appreciate you guys checking us out. Y'all have a good one.